Hey friend, are you swamped with scheduling, bogged down by bookings, or overwhelmed with managing your social media? This message is for you. I would love to introduce you to my secret weapon, StyleSmart VA. This is a company of virtual assistants literally designed by hairstylists for hairstylists. I found them through an interview right here on the podcast, and then shortly after found myself booking a discovery call because I was drowning in administrative tasks and needed help. It's been a few months now, and I can't tell you how much my VA has changed my life. No joke, friends. I am such a believer in StyleSmart VA that I decided to bring them in as an episode sponsor here on the show. Listen, as creatives, our focus should be on the clients and our craft. And now that I have my virtual assistant, I can devote more of my time to exactly that. The beauty of hiring a VA through StyleSmart is that they come to you already trained and able to seamlessly step into your business. From managing appointments and client communications to handling your social media presence, StyleSmart virtual assistants free you up to concentrate on your clients. And that's a change your clients will notice and appreciate. I mean, can we say elevating your perceived value? So when you're ready to level up in your business and take some weight off your shoulders, head on over to stylesmartva.com and book a free discovery call today. You'll also find the link in the show notes of this podcast episode. StyleSmart VA, empowering beauty professionals to focus on what they do best. Well, hey there, friend, and welcome back for another episode of the Your Hair Mentor podcast, and you are in for a humdinger fun show today, my friend. You know, I love bringing on people that are doing interesting and different things, and that is exactly how I would describe what Elizabeth Fay is doing. The way that she thinks and speaks and acts and the projects that she's working on are very different and interesting, and I think she's very creative, and I'm just happy to be able to share her message here, which I'm super aligned with, which is basically, in the way that she says it in her film, that hairstylists are changing the world. And I couldn't agree more, Elizabeth. So why don't we go ahead and jump into this fun episode with my new friend, Elizabeth. Well, hey, Elizabeth Fay. I'm super pumped to have you on the Your Hair Mentor podcast. You know, it's great because I'm not even exactly sure of all the things you're doing. Like, I kind of have like a general sense of who you are, and I know that I love everything you put out there. But for my listeners that don't know, can you just give us like a quick introduction as to like who you are and what you're doing? And then we'll just kind of like dive in from there.
That's perfect. Hi, hello. So honored to be in your space today. Thank you for your time. So I'm Elizabeth Fay. I am a retired hairstylist of 10 years. I'm a retired beauty school teacher. And I just recently this year became a retired salon owner of 7 years. One of my girls bought my salon. Yeah. Wow. So that is my tie to the beauty industry. This has been my first love. This industry has saved my life, changed my life. I feel very, not indebted, but like, you know, when something's done something a lot for you, you feel like you want to like pay reverence and homage and give back to something that has fueled your life. So I love this industry a lot, but, I cry cause I love it. So, but I'm the CEO and founder of one of the industry's largest independent communities. So we run a company in a community called Hair Love, and we are a community-based education company. So that is what I do. I am a teacher at heart. I'm an artist at heart, and we run a big community of beauty professionals, and anything in education, we probably do it. We have a scholarship, we have live events. We're mostly known for our retreat. I feel like that's what put us on the map because we were the first in the space to do anything like what we do. And it's just quirky and it's wild and it's unique. So I am incredible at running retreats. I've ran so many retreats. We have masterminds, coaching, podcasts, anything in education lives within our brand. And then within my personal brand, I work with a lot of corporate companies. I'm writing a book. I just produced a documentary. For fun, I've been producing music, and my path has kind of taken me the last 4 or 5 years from really like business mentor into deeper work, where I turned my path to more like life coach, trauma-informed work, somatics, subconscious rewiring, breathwork instructor. So my path kind of took a windy path there, and it integrated into what I was doing and brought well-being has always been a pillar of our brand, but I more own that space than more than I used to. I used to really sit more in business, and now I lead with the energetics and business follows that. So yeah, I do that. And I recently just launched a breathwork certification. So everything education is like personal development, spiritual development, business development. That's my life. That's what I do. I write a lot. I study a lot. I teach a lot. I meditate a lot. That's what I do.
The better question here might be, what do you not do?
A lot, actually. I don't do all the things. I just have evolved through time. You know what I mean? That's a windy path since 2009 of like all the transitions. So
yeah,
nowadays I coach, I do retreats, I speak.
That's awesome. I love that so much. I'm curious, when you got started in like the education space, did you start as like a technique educator, like doing actual hair? You did?
So I started as, and you'll have to, I have a TED talk that has my origin story of how I got into the industry. Are you familiar with it at all?
I am, but I don't know if my listeners are. So please feel free to share.
It's a good one. I'm like, the TED does it better. We recently did a TED talk called Hairstyles Change the World. As of today, we're over 900,000 views. So let's hit 1 million.
Yes!
It's so beautiful. It really is a message for the industry. But I talk about how I got into the beauty industry, and it was through, I was a troubled teen. I won't tell you the whole story, but I'll give you the snippets and you can listen to the talk. But I was a troubled teen, high school dropout, sent to a lot of schools, different families. I was having a hard time. And a hairdresser did my hair for good grades on a report card and did it for 4 years and mentored me. And then I became his assistant when I was 16 and was a high school dropout. And this leads into education. So that's why I say it saved my life. It literally did. Like, I was on a path that was not going anywhere good. And, you know, as a young girl, drugs, running away, self-harm, all sorts of, you know, dark things were happening for me. So art and hair and just seeing the potential of this career blew my mind. Like, I was just like, these are like normal people, but they're like rock stars and they have kids and they like can afford nice cars and they're doing this cool job. Like, it blew my paradigm open. So hair's been literally a savior for me in my life. But that education was very education. That salon was education focused. So that was my literally first introduction to education. They were very personal development focused, business focused. They were in the Paul Mitchell world. They had a really intense assistant program. So like, education was everything. And they all did hair shows, international shows, taught at beauty school. So I was an assistant to educators from 16 years old. So I was mentored on, they would make me share my story. They would make me speak. They would make me facilitate. I was an assistant, assisting the educators. So education I saw, and one of the pillars in our brand is education unlocks human potential. And I watched that firsthand in my own life and with them. And then I became a beauty school teacher in 2011 as I was doing hair as well, but I was a beauty school teacher. So that was my first like formal education training. And I taught the beauty school, I believe, for 4 years. And Paul Mitchell has wonderful facilitator training. And yeah, that was my first like formal. So I was a makeup specialist. I was whatever the fuck they need you to do in beauty school, right? Color specialist, like whatever they needed, I did. And then the next salon I worked for later was also in the Paul Mitchell brand. They're very education focused. So I would train the assistants, help make the programs, mentor them. And it wasn't until 2014 that I went independent. And it was, my baby was a little over one, and I went independent behind the chair. And the owner of that salon also owned the school. So me leaving that salon kind of was like losing both jobs. So I was like, I guess I'll go independent with education. And I started, I was the first in the space doing hair painting education with the paintbrush. So that's how I got my like kickoff was I had not a big following, but I had a lot of salons I knew and friends in the industry. And it was very just chill. Like I'll come facilitate a workshop I created at your school. And then a salon would refer me to someone and I would do them. And then we do level two. So for 4 years, I did hair painting and business education, but I always had a very like Elizabeth Fay flair, like intention and manifest, but nothing like I do now, but like very, like I was always been so heart-centered and like I shared the hairdresser to change the world message then. That's been my talk for years. And that's how I grew the Hair Love community. I had a big community of women. I became a single mom during that period. And I just bonded with humans because they're like, you know, had similar upbringings, or they were single moms, or they were artists. So we grew this network of thousands of clients just by teaching them in person. And that's how Hair Love, when I had that idea come through, I had a workshop I was doing and I said, I have this crazy idea. If I do it, will you come? And people literally held their credit cards in the air and they're like, whatever you do, we're in. Yes. And I was like, well, if you'll come, then I want to do it. You know, like I was my only hesitation was like, if anyone would come, and they were like, done. And then in 2017, we started Hair Love.
That is so cool. You know, I did not know that you were the one that started with the painting with the hairbrush. I remember when that hit. And like,
go scroll back on my shit. You'll like die.
Yeah. I had a coworker that was like, dude, I saw this chick doing this weird thing with like a paintbrush. And so she comes to the salon with like, you know, a Michael's Arts and Crafts paintbrush set. And I was like, what is happening right now? That is so funny.
Yep. So I worked a lot with clay lighteners and I made, so that's how Redken found me is I've always been a teacher. So I'm really like curriculums, like breaking things down. I'm also a 4-6 projector. So like my brain thinks like that. So they saw that I was teaching their curriculums in salons and they were like, who the fudge is this girl teaching our shit for free? Like it's not their shit. It's like Shades EQ formulation. They're like, why are you teaching our stuff? You're not an artist. And I was independent at the time. So I made a lot of relationships with like Vermar and Trionix and like Solaris, like all these like, you know, balayage brands. And they were like, well, and they started inviting me to stuff for free. And I would just work for free for like 2 years. And another big brand was starting a artist team. This is a long time ago. And they were like, you can't use Shades EQ. And I was like, I can't do that. Like I can't not use Shades EQ. So I pitched Redken a deck and said, this is the program I want. And I was their first ambassador. And that's what created their ambassador program.
Dang. That's amazing.
So that's what got my like slow, not overnight success, my very slow like climb into like the next thing to the next thing to the next thing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I love hearing that. You know, my heart song as an information sharer and educator is that I like the soft skills associated with the business. I worked for a few small companies here and there doing hair skills. And it's just not my jam teaching people how to do their art, you know? I'm like more interested in the people interactions and what motivates them. And so I love hearing from other people that like that is what skyrocketed you in the industry, right? It's like you dug deeper than just the hair painting, even though that was like your conduit to get you in the conversation. So I love that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, but what built the community was like, that we were like in community in our classes and the way we facilitated that. And like, you know, that's what really built what we did.
Yeah. And so now when you have like your Hair Love retreats, is there any actual hair techniques being taught at those? There is.
There is as of now. There has been since day one. It's Hair Love has been, and my work does not. Like if you work with me and my mastermind or my coaching, no. But if you go to Hair Love retreat, we are well-being, business, and beauty. And that's what we've been since 2017. I'm not teaching it, but there's other incredible humans, you know, that we collaborate with. I would say if you want a lot of hair education. My event is not the one to go to. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, if you're looking for like a ton of that, there's probably much better options that are doing an incredible job. If you're looking for like really high level personal development and business development with more of like a creative mastermind style to hair and beauty, we're going to be your, like, no one does it better. So yeah, if you're looking for like all the hair education, no, but there's so many incredible artists doing their thing with that, you know?
Yeah. The industry is like chocked full of really talented people.
Incredible. Yeah. So we bring a few of those in, but it's not going to be like your traditional, like demo or hands-on, because the people in our community, especially our events, are a little bit more of an investment. So they're either, you know, really looking to develop, you know, their life in other ways. And most of them, they're really good at hair, you know, like it's about unleashing new levels of creativity or innovation or the way they approach things or reigniting a passion. Or so it's more like high level conversations, artistic expression, getting in there, learning some technique, but it's really more like how I do a business mastermind. I was like, what if I fucking mix that with hair, which I've never seen before. So our facilitation type is really unique at what we do at Hair Love. And I do think that's part of the reason why people come and they're like, change my life, change my life, change my life. It's just a different type of educational, like, facilitation, like how we approach it, you know?
Yeah. So then I'm wondering, is it more like the people that are teaching the hair skills are like using the hair as the language to then speak the things that actually go deeper?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And every artist's a little different, but for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, every year is a little different with what we bring in with hair, depending on the year and the vibe and where the industry's at and what our community is craving.
Yeah.
But yeah, we throw a little beauty in.
gotta throw a little beauty in. Okay. So I want to go back to the TED Talk, because that is when you truly landed on my radar. I'd heard your name.
That.
Yeah. And I'd heard of Hair Love because, like, you know, as I'm trying to connect with people, I end up like Googling stuff. And like, for me, yeah, it's like heart centric, motivating, love comes up. So Hair Love popped up and I was like, what is this thing? And then I see your TED Talk and I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, a hairdresser doing a TED Talk? I need to know more. So tell me how that ended up happening for you. I want to know that process that got you there, because that's amazing.
Thank you. I think it is very cool that we have a hairdresser on a TED stage and talking about hair, you know? So TED is normally, how do I say this? There's a long story to this. Okay. One of my very dear friends is a professional speaker and a TED speaker, podcast host. She's a speaker coach. She's one of our coaches within our programs. And a few of the co-coaches within, like, I always tell people, I'm like, the co-coaches in our programs are insane. Like, four of them are TED speakers. Like, they're just, but like, some of them are licensed therapists and some are professional. Like, there's just like a whole range of badass women. So I run with a cool crew. So I'm like, my girlfriend did it. I supported her through her process. She's been one of my dear friends, speaks at Hair Love. Also, like, we hire each other all the time. And so she's helped me with so many of my things. And I was really inspired by her journey. And she connected me with one of her coaches who does purpose work. And I wanted to get really clear on my message because I was writing my book and a movie at the same time. And if you're going to spend that much money, spend that much time, you got to be really clear on why you're doing this and who you're doing this for and what you really want to say. So I was like really in ceremony and in healing, like just like, what is it like that it wants to come through my vessel of this like huge birthing creation of my message? And the movie took 4 years. The book is still not done. Like, I really sit with things till they feel right. And that's just the creative process. And no one made me do a movie or a book. I do it because I want to do it, right? So I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. So I was working with her and got really clear on my message and was like, oh, this feels so good. And so I was taking it and then bringing it into like my other practices and coaches. And she was like, you need to do a TED Talk with this. Like, it's beautiful. And I was like, I couldn't do a TED Talk. Like, you know, and she was like, this would be a beautiful TED Talk. So I put in my feet in my world. I was like, I mean, that would be really cool. Like, oh my God. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I was in Greece a few years ago at a mastermind and I was like in the pool looking over the infinity pool, like badass entrepreneurs, like just this like beautiful moment. And it pings in my inbox. near Zion, they're going to have a TED, a chapter of TED is going to come through. And I was like, shut the fuck up. I live by Zion, by the way. I live in Southern Utah.
Okay.
So I'm like literally in my backyard, and the amphitheater they're doing it at was one of the schools I was sent to as a troubled youth. And I was like, are you shitting me? And the last time I was on that stage, I was singing and I got so embarrassed. I walked off stage and it was really embarrassing. And I was like, I don't know, like all of that just feels like divine. So I took what I had. I called all my coach friends, was like, how do I do an audition? Like, you know, started reading books, learning about the whole TED world, because it's very different than other public speaking. They have their own, you know, it's a strict sort of deal how they need it. So I auditioned, didn't get accepted, but I learned so much in that process. And, you know, my friends were like, you could apply to other chapters. And I was like, no, I want to do it here. Like, this is part of, so this was a multi-year process because I wanted to do it. I do things very intentionally. So I'm like, no, it has to be here in this way. And when divine timing comes, it'll come. I'm in no rush. And so then they did a women's event, wasn't asked to come for that. And then I was like, you know what, I'm going to apply again. And I was actually in Tulum during auditions at a retreat. And I just reached out to her and was like, hey, I really want to do this in audition, but I'm gone. Can I do digital audition? And she's like, yeah, that'll work. And when I was on the way home from my retreat, after a healing retreat that I host, I got the email that I was accepted and I was going to be a TED speaker, which just felt like so divine. And then, you know, you work with TED coaches and you practice and you have to memorize. There's all these like, you know, nuances. But it was such a, I loved it. Some people hate the experience. I really was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to love it. And it pushed me. It stretched me for sure. Like, you wouldn't think a 5-minute talk would stretch you so much. But it has to be so potent and simple and memorized. And you don't walk a lot on a TED talk. You're supposed to stay still. There's all these things that are like different.
Yeah.
So anyways, and we're going to hit 1 million views. We're going to do it. We're close.
That's it's amazing.
Cool. It was so fun. It was so fun.
Yeah. Wait, so you can't move a lot on a TED stage? I would have such a problem with that.
Yeah. So it's a dot. You're on a red dot. So like you can only move, like how much can you move on that? And your video will be more palatable to watch if you're not like all over the place, and you want the watchability to be easy on people's bodies and eyes. And so it, you really are supposed to be animated from like the waist up more. You'll watch my video now and go, oh, you really don't move. And you don't notice. It's kind of weird.
No, I didn't notice at all. Like off the top of my head, I would be like, no, you were totally moving the whole time. But I think you were just doing a lot of like gesturing with your hands.
Yes. So it's just like, it is a fascinating process. It's unlike any other process I've been through. It was awesome.
Yeah. Do you feel like having gone through that TED experience that you are a better public speaker now?
Yeah. And I'm a professionally trained public speaker with a lot of training. So like, yeah. And I feel like it would have been a weird training to receive if it was my first training. Do you know what I mean? Because yes. It's not necessarily applicable in like every scenario. Like, but I do think, you know, it's like if you're an athlete and you do all different sorts of things, it stretches you in different ways. And, you know, so I think there's all sorts of, I've been taking music and singing lessons. That's making me a better, you know, speaker. There's all sorts of like, you know, ways that stretch you. And that definitely, hell yeah. There's no way to not be.
Yeah. So out of all of these stages that you speak on these days, whether it be in person, in front of a bunch of people, in front of a small group, at your retreat, or on like a digital platform, what's your favorite stage to speak on?
Definitely my retreats and my programs. But my retreats are so special. Like it makes like,
aww.
There's, I really try to bring a retreat essence to our masterminds, and they're very connected. They're very hands-on. They're very, everyone's so close. Like our community, a lot of it is digital, but there's just something about like being in person with people. And like the way, you know, in my retreat, I get to hold space the way I see fit best. And so, yeah, those are just like, each one's like, have you ever eaten at a restaurant that has a seasonal menu? Yes. And it's whatever's in the garden. I feel like retreats are like that. It's like each one will never exist again. Like where I'm at in my life, the way I speak at that time, the way they come in their life, the group that comes together, it's literally like it will never exist again in this way. It's like this beautiful energetic potluck of healing and development. And so each one's just like, I'm like, that'll never happen again. And that's, I think that's so fucking cool.
An energetic potluck. I love that.
That's my dad's term. He shared that at Hair Love. He's like, we share like our values in the beginning of like how we play at the retreat. And he's like, listen, this is an energetic potluck. So what you bring, everybody eats. So don't bring shitty food. Like,
oh my God. I love your dad already.
You would love him.
What did he do for a living?
So he was a welder growing up and he's a yoga teacher. So at night he would teach yoga at the YMCA. So he teaches the yoga at Hair Love and he leads like nature walks and hikes. So he like teaches you the herbs on the plant, like the trail and what they're used for medicinally. My dad's like a total mountain man hippie. And then growing up, my family's Mormon. I grew up Mormon. In Vegas, we live in a really hard part of town and he still lives there. So the ward that he serves in is less like a Utah fancy Mormon ward and more like a charity case ward. It's like homeless people, people on drugs, like they just need help and they know the church will help them. So he spends a lot of his time like helping troubled youth, doing hikes with them, taking them camping. I grew up camping in teepees. My dad and grandpa would host these rendezvous. So they set up our family's teepee. It's a whole thing. So like my dad's a little mountain man. He's a hippie. He's great.
So that was probably some of your like original influence in the, just the idea and the concept of like huge. Accepting the like woo, right?
He's a huge, if you ever watch our documentary, he's a huge influence on why Hair Love's the way it is.
I want to talk about the documentary too. I have not had the treat or the luxury. I'm going to say treat, not luxury, because I feel like everyone should probably watch it, of watching it yet. And it's just been like on my radar of like, oh, I need to watch that. And I haven't done it. And I'm going to as soon as we get done talking, maybe tonight. I'll watch it tonight. But tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I heard someone say once, it was an author, that the creation process is for you. The creation is for other people. And that's something I've really held dear. It's like, if I'm learning music, that process is for me. The music that I sing might be for someone else to hear, but like the learning and the, oh my gosh, I don't know anything. And like, how do I do this? And I, you know, all of that process, that's for me. So it's like when you're building a business, like your salon, let's say you're opening a salon or a studio, the end product is for your clients, but like who you become in the journey, that's yours. Mm. Like that is your gift. That's your sacred like becoming. So it's like when you're in these, and we're always becoming, like where you have to stop fucking wanting to arrive because then there's just another mountain. So it's like everything's the journey. Everything happens in now. So I've tried to honor that in each creative process. And that's what business I see it as, is a creative process and a personal development process. So the documentary was 4 years. It was supposed to be like a year and 30 grand. And it ended up being like 6 figures, 4 years. No one paid for this, to be very clear. We paid for this slowly over 4 years. Like this is fully self-produced. My husband is a videographer as well. So I co-directed it with him and our dear friend, Trevor, who was the director, who is a phenomenal videographer and has a whole team. And even the message, it was like, we knew it would be about how hairstyles change the world, but like, that's a very broad.
Yes.
You take that a lot of directions. And then 2020 happened in the middle of it. You're going to die when you see it though, because it captured my healing process. I didn't know I was going to have a spiritual awakening, a healing process, a midlife crisis. And it's literally documented in a movie. And it's really cool. Like, wow. I don't know if you know our journey, but in 2019, I got really sick and we started filming in 2018. And that's what turned me to the work I'm on now. So I was really burned out and I didn't know that stress, hustle, overworking could manifest autoimmune disease. So I was getting arthritis, chronic migraines. I look very different. You'll see in the movie. And I just had a lot of trauma stored in my body from my life. I had no idea what that even meant. I knew nothing about all of that. And I was going to doctors trying to get answers, and the answers were just like, take a pill and lose weight. And I'm like, cool. Like, that's like, and they're like, if you get sicker, I was pre-diabetic, PCOS out of control, all the things. And simultaneously, my now husband, who was my partner, and this is all fucking on film, which is crazy. He has struggled with very severe depression and suicidal ideation his whole life, and didn't know. It was actually on his Mormon mission. He planned his suicide off a bridge, and because they wouldn't let him go home. Yeah, it was wild. Wow. And he got a parasite, so they sent him home, and thank God. And mid-20s, his someone was like, I think you have depression. And he's like, everyone doesn't want to kill themselves. And they're like, no, bro. So they put him on medicine, and it kept him alive. And mid-30s, in 2019, the medicine stopped working. And he got, the doctors were like, this is called medicine resistant. It's when your medicine's been up so many times and it just stops working. And then they tried other medicine, and they like, those can give you a psychotic break. You can kill yourself. Like, if it's the wrong chemicals with your makeup, it's worse. So it was worse. It was really, really horribly scary. And he was not himself. And we were in a very toxic, abusive relationship. It was not good. We were both turning into people who, because I was sick and he was losing his marbles. And I have a little boy from another marriage. So it was like a whole bunch of shit going on. And so he got told he's medicine resistant. They did a DNA test and said, nothing works for your body except for the one you were on. Cool. Wow. So the thing keeping you alive doesn't work. And that was the moment that we were actually on a tour for Hair Love, doing a podcast tour, and he was so bad. He was so bad. And when I got home, I was like, we have to check you into a clinic. Like, this is like beyond, like, I can't handle this. Like, you can't handle this. I was constantly afraid I was going to come home to him dead. Like, and I grew up with a mom who was suicidal. So I like, that was just like my trauma pattern of having people want to kill themselves around me. So it was too much. And we had had friends say to us, have you heard of breath work? Have you heard of breath work? And have you heard of psilocybin? And we're like, magic mushrooms, breath work, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. And it took shit getting that bad for us to get into it. And we started working with shamans, doing ceremony work, medicine work, doing breath work, learning about our inner child, trauma work, all this other stuff. And it changed our lives. I mean, and this was literally, we were filming a movie through all this. And our goal was just to get me healthy and him not killing himself. And then we would break up. And so we get like, we loved each other. I want you to live and be safe, but like, this is bad.
Yeah.
And we fell in love on the other side of a healing journey. And that's why I do the work I do. And I started going to school for it in 2020, and I'm still in school for it. And, I just couldn't unsee or unknow what I knew. And I literally changed my programs. I launched my healing retreat. Like, it just, I dissolved certain work. I was just like, holy shit. And so that's been the path we've been on. So it's in the movie. You'll, it's wild. Like, that's the coolest part of the movie, is like the message that was birthed through it while I was like going through a spiritual awakening and like running this community. And we share about the industry, and everyone's going through 2020. Like, it's just a wild capture in time. And the edit was done so beautifully. And it ends with the meditation, which I didn't even do at the time that I had started the movie. Like, it's really fucking cool. Like, I'm just, for me, that was like my gift, was like, I'm literally 5 different people. Like, I stepped into who I am through that movie. And it's a beautiful message. You'll love it. But that's, yeah. Is that wild?
That's so holy wild. Shit. So, okay. So a lot makes sense now. Obviously, I haven't seen the film, so I didn't know that. But like, yeah, years prior, I'd seen a lot of your stuff, and it was very like, you always had like a touch of woo in your messaging, right? And
but
it was very
not at
like,
all like what I do now.
No, it was like, come and learn about business and like empower yourself in the yes. business realm. And it's a little kumbaya. And now I saw the shift in like just what you're putting out there, and even like your branding and all that stuff. And I was like, this girl's gone woo. Like, not in a bad way, but I was just like, something changed and I had no idea what it was. Thank you for sharing
that.
Everything
changed.
Everything changed.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, when I learned, like, you know, for me, like I had to know science and I had to be in a really bad spot. Like, and you know, I did yoga. I've always had that at our retreats. My dad, like, you know, heart centered, but like, I did not understand our nervous system, how the subconscious mind works, how soul and science and spirit connect. And like, once I learned it, I also was like, oh, this is why people were stuck in my business programs. This is what was happening in their nervous system. That like, and then that's why we got rid of WIB and launched Sacred Stylus. And like, the results are fucking insane. Like, they're literally insane. And I'm not everyone's cup of tea if their paradigm isn't, if it's too like dissonance from where they are, right? In like a spiritual or personal evolution. So I'm like, fun. I'll trigger people or I'll inspire people, and both is medicine, right? And it's that was hard for me too, was coming out of like what felt like a spiritual closet, because I was like, what if people don't like me? What if people leave my community? And people did, and people, new people came in. And it's like, when you walk a path of leadership, of, you know, healing, of you're here to change the world, you're not here to be liked, you're here to change the world. You're here to make impact. Some people will love you, some people will be triggered, some people will hate you, some people will be inspired. You're here to make change. And that was like huge for me and my leadership to just embody what I'm really here to do. And the rest isn't about me. Like, it's just part of development and evolution. And so yeah, I mean, I couldn't be quiet after what it did for my health and my life and thousands of my clients now, you know, like it's just, yeah. I went off the woo cliff hard, girl.
So, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if you feel comfortable answering this. With psilocybin, you mentioned that in part of yours and your husband's journey. Is that something that you still use for ceremony?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do talk about it in our program. I'm very open inside of my containers with it, just due to the nature of what it is. But and it'll be in my book. I'm an advocate for what it's doing for mental health hugely. I know a lot about medicine work. I've sat over 20 times. I've facilitated out of the country with people in health space. So it's something I do in the, because it can be legally done in other places, you know. But at home, yeah, it is. Microdosing practices. I know a lot about anything that is going to help us rewire, help our nervous system. And that's a beautiful tool. It's not needed or necessary. What I love about breath work is people can get the same results and it's free. It's their own medicine. It's with them all the time. You know, if they're not comfortable with another tool, your breath is your innate medicine built in. But I think that if it feels calling to people, it can be a really beautiful, powerful tool added into a practice. So yeah. And what it does for mental health and healing is insane. I mean, I have, and not that I'm not giving any medical advice. Derek's been off of his pills since 2019, and I have dozens of clients who have healed all sorts of crazy shit with breath work. And then when they add that in, it has amplified and sped up the process. And there's so much science that like you can go down the rabbit hole forever on it. But yeah, I'm a big advocate for what it's doing and I'm excited about where it's going.
I know a lot of like excuse me, very successful people that utilize tools like that in their life and their business and have seen huge changes. And so
Huge.
I love hearing that. I mean, I'm personally very, very curious about it, especially some of the like more intense versions of psychedelics, you know? Oh God, I had this friend that I worked with years ago that was like little woo-woo, and she went and did like an ayahuasca ceremony and came back like a changed person.
Yep, we've sat with grandma, they call it grandmother medicine. It's twice. It's very beautiful.
That's so cool. So it seems to me like you have like this underpinning current in everything you do. Like to me, you seem a little stubborn in a good way. I don't know if anyone's told you that, but like
No,
you're
tell
okay,
me.
so like you're very soft and like loving and great, but when it comes to your goals and your aspirations, I've heard you say quite a few times now, like, no, I want it this way, so I'm gonna keep going and I'm gonna keep doing this way. I'm not willing to bend because I know this is what I need to do. And I like that. It's like you know what you want and you're going to stick to your guns about it, right? And not let any like flashy, shiny things distract you.
That's a beautiful way. Yeah. I think it's just like when you have a knowingness and a vision, you know, it's like the how will change. That changes. Like the flexibility as an entrepreneur, a leader, a visionary, you guys, but like knowing where we're going. So like the how of like changing an industry through well-being, like, yeah, like I know I'm gonna, I know the lives I have impacted, but like I know the beauty industry will never be the same when it comes to well-being across the board, like later in my life. Like I'll be like, that's my legacy. How? Oh my gosh, I don't know. Like I have ideas of how, but like there's gonna be things, even this year, I've had some really huge opportunities come up that I didn't even foresee as an option to match that vision. And it's like even better. And I think, yeah, it's like holding your, it's like holding the vision and holding the trust, because there's messy middles and there's shit goes sideways. And it's like, you really have to come back to like, does this vision matter? Is it aligned? Is it what I want? And if it is, it holds true through those ups and downs, you know, like 2020, I was like, maybe I don't want to do any of this. Like, I don't, and I really sat in that. And I think we all did. And then I was like, no, I feel really called to do this, even though everything's on fire right now. It's still where I'm supposed to be. So God, universe, show me how easy it is. Show me a path, show me a way that I can't see, you know? I see the vision, but I might not see like where I'm going. I just see the next right step, you know?
Yeah. This is a really fascinating conversation for me to have. My last guest that I interviewed is very different than you. He has the same message, but like the package he wraps it up in is very, very different. And like the gist of our conversation was like, you have to have a goal. Like you have to like find your North Star, find your goal, find your purpose, whatever that thing is, and understand that you can course correct along the way, but you're always driving for that goal, right? And like he was very like masculine and like firm about it and hard.
Yeah, that's the masculine energy. Masculine energetics are linear. They are literally linear, like a flagpole. So feminine energetics, where I do lead in my feminine, we're cyclical. We're like the womb. We die and rebirth, just like our periods, like the seasons. We're like fall sheds, winter, the roots fortify, spring, new life comes through. So feminine energy, we all have both energetics, by the way. So that's your yin and yang, your go and flow. So that's just a masculine view. It's logic, reason, all of that. So his leading essence would be masculine, counteracted with feminine by a little trust, a little creativity, where a feminine leading would lead more like community, more cyclically, more seasonal, more trust, more flow, more ease. So we get there. We just get there in a spiral versus a linear line. So even our energetics don't stay the same. If you bleed, they just don't. Like your hormones and everything scientifically do not stay the same. So you'll have burst of productivity and then burst of creativity and then burst of recovery. And that is how you lean into your energetics with that. So it's just, I lead in my feminine. We get to the same place. We have impact. We have that. I just go with more cyclicity and flow, and they're more linear, which it's not bad. It's that we're just different.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that more creatives and people in the beauty industry end up kind of being in more of that feminine space. Would you agree?
After they do their healing work, they can lead in that space. A lot of them are in their wounded masculine, because business is taught in wounded masculine. That's what hustle culture is. Masculine and feminine are both beautiful. We have a healed and wounded side to them. So my whole business program is through the energetics lens. So we talk about, because the energetics are what create everything. So we're taught business. Literally all of our business mentors, I can name the biggest names in business for years, are taught through a really push, force, go masculine lens. And people are like wanting work-life balance and they're chasing productivity to then earn their ease. That's not how it works. And it's what, even my highest level, like I have clients who are like scaling their product company to $10 million this year, and they've built a whole thing and it's a huge brand in the industry. They're fucking fried. They're fried. They're leading a team and the responsibility gets heavier, and they built something so in their wounded masculine, they literally have to go back and like rebuild their foundation in the feminine. So the systems and the team and everything can support that so much better. So it's just you're seeing it collectively, spiritually. People are healing more. They're returning back to the earth, returning back to the body. So the masculine's the mental mind, the what do I think, what do I know? The feminine's the body and the earth. Even seeing people homestead, all of this is a call back to balance. So like everything wants balance and harmony. And so it's this shift. So if divine feminine rises, we need healed masculine to come with us, right? Your boundaries, your systems, your budgets, all of that are holding the container of the company so you can be in your community, your leadership, your creativity. Without the counterpart, it's chaos though. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to have balance. And so that's what you're seeing people. How many people are on a healing era journey right now? Like it is like literally a call in the collective. So it's returning back to the body and the heart. The feminine is heart led. The masculine would be mental led. And even every indigenous teacher I've worked with, they're like, you know, we thinking with the head is like, you got to think with your heart and then you counteract with logic. It's not the other way around. But we've gotten so we lead with our heads. So much. So I would say, yes, a lot of people would find more ease and flow once they lead in their feminine, but that requires like some unwiring of the ways we viewed business and how we behave and our productivity and our businesses. So eventually we can.
Yeah.
It's just not like a here you go, do this. It's like healing's not linear, you know?
Yeah.
First, there's awareness, then curiosity, and then healing, and then changing the way we do things, and integration, and then embodiment.
Yeah. I would love to relate this back to a hairstylist in the salon. So I'm wondering if you can kind of paint a picture for me of what a hairstylist might look like before they experience this energy shift with you, what maybe their business looks like, and then give us, and like, you don't have to give details, you know, that's in your paid content or whatever. I'm sure you can give me like an overarching view of something like this, and then give me a view of what they'd look like after they've had this work with you and like what their work looks like, what their life looks like, and some changes that they'd see.
Yeah. I'm also going to give you, I have a masterclass called Heal Hustle for hairdressers. I'm going to give it to you. It's free and you can put it because it'll break down more tools and it is free, but it's like shit that's in my paid content. So it's so good. Perfect. And I teach a lot of this even at hair shows. I just got back from Premiere teaching it. So, I mean, I'll give a very, very basic, simple example. Let's say you're in the salon, you're doing clients. Even let's do like someone who's not in a bad situation. They're in a good situation. They're making good money. They like their clients. I think we could paint an easy example. You're burned out. You're overworking. You're people pleasing. Okay. Someone who's in that spot. Sure. Let's say you're in a better spot. You're like gotten some of that worked out. You have some of your boundaries, some of your policies, all of the things. But you still go home tired and you still feel like your energetics are not sustained. And this is like someone who's in a good spot. I have tons of clients who are not in that spot, sure. Right? So if you're in a bad spot, we'll bring that up for sure. But let's say you're doing pretty fucking good. You make great money, love your clients, but you're still, it's still energetically draining. You're still like, I don't know how long I could do this. Like, can I do this my whole life? I have so many clients who are like, I think I need to build another thing. And maybe that is the right thing, but like, the energetic part has to happen no matter what you build. Like coaching's the same shit. Like you're going to need this there too. And then you lead a team and you scale them and oh my gosh, it's more responsibility and you're balancing team meetings and other people and building them. And oh my God, and social media too. Are you kidding me? And then you have to have like legal contracts and have that all buttoned up. And then you have, right. All of these things come up. And so you're going to feel differently. You may do similar things, but you're going to have more energetic and emotional protection because you're going to have tools on how to do that. And so your nervous system will be more regulated. And that's, you know, there is no better ROI than the way you feel in your body. Like if your nervous system's more regulated, essentially you're just not in a stress state as often. And when your body is in a stress state, which doesn't have to be a scary bear chasing you. It could be the next client coming, kids shit after school, a lot of clients, social media posts. It's like those low key, like hijack things that hijack your energetics and your mental capacity that play on the background, monkey mind stuff that puts your body in a stress state, fight, flight, freeze, fawn. And when that happens inside of your body, your nervous system, it uses all of its goods, all of its power, all of its autonomic functions to keep you in a survival state. So survival state would change the pacing of your breath, how fast your heart beats, blood pressure, hormones, cortisol levels, which then in fact affect your adrenals. And if you get headaches, if your body hurts, joint pain, autoimmune disease, I can't tell you how many shit I see in our industry with this, and hormone imbalances, all of that stuff with their health. And they're constantly in a stress state, and your nervous system has to switch into rest and digest for the body to regenerate. And when we are in that state, our nervous system, it's not using all of its autonomic functions to keep us alive. So what happens is you're not working with like 10% of your capacity, which feels like force, fixing, push, hustle, grind, go, dysregulation, disassociation, disconnection to the body, can't enjoy playing with your kids after work, can't enjoy savoring a meal, can't enjoy a date night, can't relax during sex, can't have really deep, beautiful conversations with clients, always worrying about the next thing, hit a goal and you want to hit the next thing. The to-do list is regulating your nervous system with each check. When you're dysregulated, when you're regulated, you're going to feel more content in your body, more safe. And what happens is all of that power, the autonomic nervous system isn't using to keep you in that state. You now have more creativity. You now have more clarity. You have more logic. You have more access to reason, personal power, intuition, and the body can regenerate and heal. Your cells turn over all the time. So it's like it can use its functions. So when you heal your nervous system and you have tools for regulation, for connection, coming back, you can actually lead as the fucking leader in your company and your social media and behind the chair and decisions in your business and your life. And I think for me, the biggest outside of the money, outside of all that, is you love your life. When we feel good, we do good. And we live in a world that has taught us, when I do enough, I will finally feel good. And this approach is like, it's inside out. It's not outside in. Yes, you might adjust some of your, I call them feminine business strategies to support that feeling. We might adjust some boundaries, some policies, some systems, some automations, but they're all with that. And you could do all the fucking systems and your nervous system isn't regulated.
Yeah.
It still won't feel good. So when we feel good, we do good. I'll give you a free thing. You can give them.
I would love that. You know, I immediately what comes to mind is all of these memes and videos that are floating around on the internet of like a hairstylist sitting in their car, just like blankly staring, you know, they're like, what I look like after a huge color correction or whatever. And it's like, oh, haha, that's funny. But it's not. And I've experienced this myself. It's funny when you're talking about these things, I'm like, yep, yep, yep. I used to work 14-hour days and go, 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 push, push, push. I had no time for myself. And I would laugh because that would be me at the end of the day. Like, I would just want to sit in my driveway and not get out of the car yet. To not talk to people, right? Yeah. I'm not that way anymore. Like the things that I do in my life, like fuel me and inspire me and fill my cup. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like I can easily give and pour from my cup to other people. Yeah. And it's like a funny thing to experience and not have any like words to be like, oh, that's what I went through. That's what I did. But the way you said that just nailed it. And I bet you a lot of people are going to listen to that and be like, holy shit, that's me.
Yeah. And I think some people are bad going to good and some people are doing great and they want to feel like phenomenal. Like for me, like I feel great, but I want more vitality. Like it's like nervous system regulation is a game. It's like maintenance. It's like working out. It's something you do forever. So it's like it can turn good to bad, you know, or bad to good, good to great, great into pleasure, into savoring, into vitality, into like, it gets better. It's beautiful.
So where do you see yourself going? You know, we talk about you have to have a goal and a North Star in order to like guide yourself. Where are you headed in the next couple of years?
Yeah, the path I'm on, I'm going to write books. My book comes out next year. I know I'll write more. All my programs I feel deeply aligned with. They are my work. I feel like I'm doing my legacy work. So continuing to do our masterminds. I have one for beauty and wellness pros, and then I have one for educators. And then I do private work with high level educators. And I love it. Like what I have feels beautiful. And then we have our certification, which is new. And I know that's going to be a huge brand for us. It's called Glow Breathwork. So I think that's just doing what we're doing. And I'm sure I'll write more books. And for the industry, I think just we'll keep doing Hair Love, how we do it, supporting our people. But my big industry goal is to literally revolutionize the industry by bringing well-being tools in. And we do that through corporate, and we're working on some really big things that are going to ripple through the industry and support tools across the board. And we do it in shows and schools, but we have more coming. And I think just giving people these tools from the start, instead of helping tens of thousands in the middle, which I'm still going to do, but it's going to start in the beginning. And I think just being an advocate for well-being for beauty professionals. I think I'm in my legacy work. That's what I'm going to be doing.
That's so great. Well, if you could leave my listeners with one message, like one little nugget they can take with them at the end of this conversation, what would that be for my hairstylists?
When you feel good, you do good. And to put feeling good in alignment as the most important job that you have. And all the work shit's going to work itself out. It really does. When you put that at the center of your life, your relationships, your fulfillment, let work support that mission and not the other way around. And life's too fucking short for us not to like look at our kids' eyes and go on that trip and build relationships and enjoy it and have pleasure and eat good food. Like, you're here to fucking have a human experience. Like, do it. Like, just love it and make work be art that supports you having a good life, you know?
Oh, thank you so much, Elizabeth Faye. You are a gem. And you're amazing. Like, everything you say, I'm just like, how do you have these words? They just flow so eloquently out of your mouth that I'm like, everything resonates with me, everything. And I'm sure my listeners are going to feel the same. And so if my listeners want to have more Elizabeth Faye in their lives, can you tell us where they can find you and kind of get connected and put into the system with you?
Yeah, I think if you want to give them the free Hill Hustle, that's a great, like, actual tangible for them to have. Mm-hmm. But Instagram's great. I have Hey Elizabeth Faye and Hair Love University. We share so much content and podcasts. I feel like that's the best place to start and see where it takes you.
Love it. Awesome. Well, I will definitely link to that freebie that you gave us. Thank you so much for that. And the movie that I'm going to go watch tonight, by the way.
Oh, yeah, like, do it.
Yeah, I'm legitimately going to go watch that. So then when I record the intro and the outro for this, I will have watched it and I can speak from experience.
That'll be so good.
Thank you so much for coming on today. And I look forward to just staying connected with you in the future.
I love it.
Thank you. All right, my friend, that wraps up this week's podcast episode on the Your Hair Mentor podcast. And, you know, this whole podcast is here to inspire you, to help elevate you in your industry, behind the chair, and in any other entrepreneurial adventures that you're on. And so I hope that your takeaway from this, and this conversation especially, is that you leave a little bit inspired, interested to try new things, because the way that Elizabeth speaks is just so different to me. She doesn't speak like a hairstylist, honestly. She speaks like some yogi guru kind of person, and I find that so fascinating. But also how, you know, we can relate it back to hairstylists. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you that I found some real impact out of this conversation, and I hope that that holds true for you as well, because that's why I'm here, bringing new information, new insights, interesting conversations to help inspire you every day behind the chair and beyond. So as I always like to say, my friend, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for hanging on, even with my nasally cold here. And I hope you have a wonderful hair day. And until next time, my friend. Okay, bye.